All right, open your Bibles to John chapter 3. Tonight we're going to dig into an awesome topic, the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, who feels confident opening their Bible and teaching and instructing someone about the Holy Spirit? All right, we got four hands. Well, you can have some notes. Or five with notes. Amen. Now, listen. This is so important.
Yeah.
We live in a day and age where so many people go to church. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. I need your attention up here. Okay, focus on Him. Halloween candy's awesome, but we need to focus on Him. Okay? The Holy Spirit is such a misunderstood topic. And so many people who claim to know their Bibles, they do not know the first thing about teaching about the Holy Spirit.
Wow, come on.
There's so much confusion. And yet, as we're going to see tonight, if you just dig in, if you just study it out, it's so clear. And yet there are whole false denominations based on a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
We got to know this one. Now, this is a study that I don't do with everybody I study with. However, if they're from a Pentecostal background, or if they have a Pentecostal influence on them, then you need to do both the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the study we're going to do Friday night, the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's a great study. And again, you're going to see how the Scriptures fit together so perfectly to really explain the truth about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3. Verse 34.
Come on,
bro. Now, don't think just because we don't teach this to everybody we study with, this is on the side, you don't need to know this one. You guys, everybody calls himself disciple of Jesus Christ. You need to know this study cold.
Amen.
You need to be able to share this and teach this so clearly because it's such an intense topic in the religious world and in the spiritual battle. So in John 3:34, we read this. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. Now, of course, we're talking about Jesus here. That Jesus was given the Spirit without limit. Now, in the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, it talks about the full measure of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What we're going to study beginning tonight and ending on this Friday night is that the Holy Spirit has different measures or different elements, if you will. So, if you read through the Bible and every time you see Spirit or Holy Spirit, you think it's talking about the same thing, you'll be very, very confused. You will not understand. But you'll come to learn, just as we talk about God, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one, in the same way there are different measures of the Holy Spirit. And as you come to understand them, you'll be able to see very quickly and very clearly exactly what the Scriptures are talking about.
Amen, bro.
So we're going to talk about three different measures of the Holy Spirit. Number one, we've already studied about in the light and darkness study. So flip on over to Acts 2:38.
Okay, come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Now I know you don't need to go over here because you can quote it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. But in Acts 2:38, we read this awesome scripture. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit. This first measure of the Holy Spirit, we're going to call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's when the Holy Spirit, once your sin is forgiven, comes to live inside of you as you're raised from baptism into the kingdom of God. It's the indwelling of the Spirit is promised to every single man or woman who dies, is buried, and raises with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everyone will be given this indwelling of the Holy Spirit when your sins are forgiven. Now, the second measure we're going to talk about tonight is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're really going to camp out on. But before we do that, let me go to the third measure of the Holy Spirit, which are the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to study that out in depth again Friday night. But just to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be talking about is that the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit were received by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Jesus gave them this ability and this gift. Now, what are some of the miraculous gifts?
Healing,
speaking in tongues,
overcoming death,
prophesying, not being poisoned. All these different miraculous gifts are different things that were given. The apostles had the ability to do these, and they had the ability to lay their hands on others and pass these gifts on, so they could do these miraculous gifts. However, and we're going to prove this through Scripture,
amen,
the people that were given the gifts by the apostles did not have the ability to put their hands on someone and pass them on.
Yep. Yeah.
So once the apostles died, and those they'd given the gifts to died, what happened to the gifts? They died.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about that very clearly on Friday night. Let's go back up to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look in Acts chapter 1. Now we're going to spend the bulk of our time in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. But we need to get a little running start here in Acts chapter 1 verse 4. Now normally, we've been going through this as if we have our young, zealous Christian Bobby teaching our non-Christian that he reached out to, Esau, and you're trading the reading around. Tonight, I'm not going to go through all that. I'm just going to give a direct teaching on this topic. Amen?
Amen?
So in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Amen. So, here we see that Jesus gives a command.
Amen.
The command is what? To stay in Jerusalem. The command is not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a command. No. The command is stay in Jerusalem. The promise is, you obey that command, stay in Jerusalem, my Father will pour out the Holy Spirit on you.
Yeah.
You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Look over in Acts chapter 2.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, in Acts chapter 2, we're looking at the day of what?
Pentecost.
Now, what does the day of Pentecost mean? Well, Pente means 50. Okay? What's the relevance of 50? 50 days after the Passover. Now, we all know what the Passover is, right?
Right.
The Passover in the Old Testament was where the death angel was going to come and take all the firstborn of the Egyptians.
Right.
And so Israel was told to sacrifice the lamb.
Right.
And take that blood and put it on their door frame.
That's right.
And therefore the death angel would know to pass over that door and not take that firstborn child.
Yes.
Now, it's pretty awesome that Jesus, our unblemished lamb, died for our sins. His blood was spilt the day before Passover. And I don't think that's coincidence. You know? Now, here we are, 50 days later, the Feast of Pentecost, which was one of the three big feasts they'd have every year. And Jews from all over, every nation would stream into Jerusalem. Remember, we learned that in the Kingdom study. Coming of the kingdom. And they'd come in for these feasts. Pentecost was the feast to celebrate the first fruits of the harvest. Now, here they've all come together, and we're going to take a look at what's going on.
Come on.
Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All right, let's stop right there. So here the apostles are, and they're in this room, in this one place, and all of a sudden this great ball of fire burst in the room. Now imagine if we're all here, and all of a sudden through the door, bam, this ball of fire comes and hovers in the center right above you. Now, remember, Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem, and I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John used water. I got something more powerful. And we're sitting there. Imagine being one of the apostles. This ball of fire, bam! Because then it says, the tongues of fire separated off of the big one and came to rest on each one of their heads. So, one goes over Joe. One goes over Cecil. One goes over Joel. And one's over your head. You know? I mean, this is powerful. It's like a violent wind going on. This is incredible. Let's read on. They're given these tongues, right? And they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, we let the Bible define what that means.
Amen.
Reading on. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men Galilean who are speaking? How is it each of us hears them in his own native language? And then it goes through all the different languages. Verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Okay. Now, what's going on here? What is this speaking in tongues? Well, people had come from every nation. And of course, God wanted His message to go out from His faithful to all nations.
Right.
One problem. We only speak one language.
Right.
So how are we supposed to speak to the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia and all those other Christians and Arabs that came? Because you only speak one language.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, God said, I'm all powerful.
Right.
So I'm going to do a miracle for you.
Amen.
I'm going to let you speak. I'm going to let you have this miraculous ability to just speak in another tongue. How would you like to be out sharing your faith and you meet somebody who's French? You're like, man, I need to preach the gospel. Voulez-vous étudier la Bible avec moi? Oui, oui, je le crois. You know, I mean, what's going on? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what happened. They're speaking Galilean, but the others are hearing it in their own language. And they're amazed and perplexed. Well, what's going on? And the best way to explain it is it's like going to the UN,
right,
where all the world leaders come, and you just put on a headset where someone will translate for you.
Yeah.
But God Almighty did the translating that day.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was powerful. So that His message would ring out. So that's what's going on with the tongues. Verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. It's like when you're studying the Bible with someone.
Yeah.
So listen very carefully. This is so important.
Yeah.
Those men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Come on. It's a good argument, right? It's just 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This is powerful. What's going on here?
Amen.
Of course, this prophecy here is amazing. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. What have the Jews known throughout time? Who was the Spirit poured out on? Moses. Right? King David. God's special chosen leaders had the Spirit poured out on them, like the prophets. But now, it'd be poured out on all people.
Amen.
In the last days. Now, we understand from the kingdom study, this isn't talking about the last days of the world. It's talking about the last days of all things Jewish, of worshiping according to the old Israel traditions. Because in AD 70, what happened?
Temple
was destroyed under the rule of Titus. It was obliterated, and no longer could you bring sacrifices or worship according to the old law. There was a new law coming to town. A new day and a new way. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so, all men, the Spirit was going to be poured out on all people. Now, to the Jew, they go, wow, that's great. Not just the leaders, but all of us people. But not just the men either. It was going to be poured out on the women. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
What we're going to get into soon here, not just the Jews even, but on the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And the Jew, to the Jews, is what? That this was going to be a new teaching. Okay?
Amen.
But this is the prophecy of what's going to happen. Now look over in verse 36. Of course, Peter stands up. Of course, he's got the keys to the kingdom. Verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
So, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this amazing event that happened, was for a reason. Let's talk about this. There are five characteristics of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one, it was promised.
Amen.
Not commanded.
Right.
Remember back in Acts 1, 4, and 5.
Yep.
The command was to stay in Jerusalem. The promise was, John baptized water, I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That was a characteristic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it was predicted. It was prophesied.
Right.
Remember we talked about Joel. In those last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Right? Number three, it came without warning.
Right.
They're just sitting in the room. They didn't know when it was coming, and bam! Fire! Right? They start speaking in tongues. They must leave the room and go out into the crowd, and then a crowd starts coming together in bewilderment without warning. Some churches, some denominations, and religious people say that you're supposed to sit and pray specifically to be baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So that it will come out and pour on you. That's nowhere in the Bible.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Nowhere in the Bible. It came without warning.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. Yep.
Not with specifically praying for it. Fourthly, it came with languages.
Right.
Right? We see that. Understandable languages.
Yeah.
Some people are told, until you can speak in tongues, which is like a babbling in the Spirit, you're not saved till we can see you speaking in tongues.
I've heard that.
Here, that's not what this is for. This wasn't for salvation. But it was for, the fifth thing, the purpose, to usher in the kingdom with power.
Amen.
Okay? They're in Jerusalem, they're waiting, and you remember the kingdom study, all those things that were prophesied, and then the day of Pentecost, bam, all of them start to come true. There was this powerful speaking through languages. 3,000 respond. 3,000 are baptized. And we know from the light and darkness study that when you're baptized, you die, you're buried, you're raised with Jesus, your sins are forgiven.
Right.
When are you saved? When your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Not when you receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? Your sins are forgiven, the wall comes down, you're saved, and you get the Holy Spirit right then. A lot of people teach you're saved when this outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes on you. It had came on them early in Acts chapter 2, but the people weren't saved yet until they were baptized in water for forgiveness.
Yep.
That goes back to number one, the indwelling. Now, important note, I don't do these studies on the Holy Spirit with anybody until we've done the kingdom, until we've done light and darkness, until they understand those things. Because you've got to understand those things to put all this together.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And would you say the kingdom was ushered in with power?
Yeah.
This grand event, and bam, here comes the kingdom. And now the Spirit poured out on all people. All those 3,000 men, women. But it wasn't just for Jesus. However, for the first 7 years of the church, it was only Jesus.
Right.
For the first 7 years, they were preaching the word and baptizing the Jews, and they were being forgiven of their sins. But God had to get their attention.
Right.
God had to help them understand, this is also for the Gentiles.
Right.
So, there had to be a second baptism of the Holy Spirit. For who?
Gentiles.
Yep. Now, we got any Gentiles here tonight?
Yeah.
Those uncircumcised fellows, right? Right. We're talking about Gentiles now.
Yep.
Right? And so, what if the kingdom had never been opened to the Gentiles?
We wouldn't be here.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. We would not be here. Amen. Take a look over in Acts chapter 10.
Come on.
What you're going to see in Acts chapter 10 is that even the leaders of God's people still didn't understand.
That's right.
That the Gentiles were included.
Right.
And so God had to pull off another amazing event with power to help get the Gentiles saved as well. Amen? Acts chapter 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. Amen? A soldier in the Italian regiment. Let's just say he wasn't Jewish. Amen?
Right.
Amen. This was a good Gentile right here. Amen. Now, read in verse 2. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Now, I think it's important to understand, because we get messed up on this.
Come on, Mom.
You can be devout, God-fearing, give generously to the needy and the poor, and even pray regularly, and still not be saved.
Yes, that's possible. Yep.
We see all those things, we go, they must be saved. Well, we're not saved by works, are we?
No.
No, we're not.
Right.
And this guy, Cornelius, wasn't saved at this time.
Yep.
But you could look at him, oh, look at his life, he must be saved.
Right.
No. Got to know what the Bible teaches. Verse 3. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. You'd be scared too.
Yeah.
One angel in the Old Testament, one angel destroyed 185,000 of Sennacherib's men.
Wow.
The angel speaks to you. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? All right. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts of the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. How about that, guys? Is that pretty cool?
Yep.
So see, God saw this Gentile who's devout, feared God, given to the poor, prayed regularly. He said, I've got to do something for this Gentile. It's the same today, guys. God sees people. Maybe at your high school, guys. Maybe at your college. He sees people that they are devout. They do have some moral fiber. They're praying. They're crying out to God. Maybe they're helping people. And he goes, I need to get somebody in their life.
Right.
Acts 17. God determines the times and the places and sets it all up.
Right.
So over here, God sends an angel to work on him. But now God's got to get someone to go preach to him.
Amen.
Right? So like God's preparing these people at your school or at your work, but then he's got to come over and prepare you.
That's right.
To go get them.
Yep.
And that's why we're doing first principles.
Amen.
So we're prepared.
Amen.
And our eyes are open. And our faith is on God and his lost souls. Amen?
Amen.
Reading on verse 9.
Come on now.
About noon, the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray.
Yep, just like
Pat and Joel. Amen. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Now that's like Pat and Joel. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Now look what he saw, guys. Hang with me here. Help me out. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals. What is going on? As well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air, then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat."
Wow.
And the single brother said, "Amen." Now, guys, what's going on? These are foods that aren't cool. They're not kosher. You with me?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to eat this stuff. And Peter, by his response, might have even thought this was a little test from the Lord.
Right.
And he says, "Surely not, Lord."
Right.
Peter replied, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean."
No.
So the voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean."
Wow.
There was a message coming here about the Gentiles. This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, he's really caught up on this, guys.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Something ever happened, he just keeps thinking about it.
Yeah.
And he's still thinking about it. The Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them."
Wow.
Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?"
Come on now.
This gets intense. The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he can hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. This was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may not understand how huge this was.
Yeah.
A Jew was never to associate with a Gentile.
Yep. Yeah.
He had him into his house.
Wow.
He was understanding what God was saying through the sheet let down of the animals.
Yeah.
Things were changing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Spirit was going to be poured out on all people.
Yeah.
This is really
awesome.
Read on. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. See, he wanted those he loved to hear the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, we want our close friends and our relatives to hear the Word. This guy Cornelius had called them together, so when Peter got there, they could all hear.
Yeah.
As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." All right, we just got to stop here and talk about one thing.
Come on.
There's a certain religion that I was raised in that claims Peter was the very first pope. And that Jesus made him that in Matthew 16. Peter, "You have the keys, and on this rock I'll build my church." Now, what do with the Pope? You kneel down before him and you kiss his ring. When this guy kneels down before Peter, what does he say? "Stand up.
Yeah.
I'm only a man."
Amen.
Wow.
Pope is believed to be infallible. His word can contradict Scripture. He's more than a man. Peter himself says, "No, no, no, no. Get up."
Amen.
Right. Come on,
Chris. Amen.
Amen.
That was just extra.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 27, talking with him, Peter went inside and found a gathering of people, a large gathering. Now that's how you like to see a Bible talk. He said to them, You are well aware it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. You see this, guys? It was against the law.
Yes.
And later we're going to read Peter gets criticized for it. But he knew God was telling him to do it.
Right.
And he went and did it.
Right.
Now, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So, when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask, why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Wouldn't you like a few of your studies to say that to you, right?
Yeah.
You
know,
I'm here to listen to what God told you to tell me.
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay? Peter began to speak. And you know, as he preaches here, the first part you kind of see he's preaching to himself a little bit. I now realize how true it is. God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation
Amen.
Who fear Him and do what is right.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Because God was with Him. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a tree. But God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with them after He rose from the dead. That'd be cool to be in that group. They ate and drank with a resurrected Jesus. Man. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. He wasn't finished with His sermon. Right in the middle of it, boom! Here came the Holy Spirit one more time.
Amen.
The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, who was that? Those the Jews. See, they were the only believers up to that point.
Yeah.
And converts to Judaism. You had to be a Jew to be saved. They were what? Astonished! They couldn't believe it, guys!
Right.
Yep.
That the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles! 7 years into the kingdom!
Right.
They were astonished! They hadn't got it!
Yes.
But now they got it. Mm-hmm. Why? What helped them? They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So this outpouring of the Holy Spirit had come. Bam! Now, then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? Mm-hmm. They received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Amen.
What's going on? Well, it looks like the baptism of the Holy Spirit again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, this time though, for the Gentiles.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
Now, we got to go through this though and see if all the characteristics are present.
Right.
What's the first characteristic? That it was promised. Well, do we see that in this text? Well, not real clearly. Let's hold off on that one. Let's hold off. Number two, it was predicted or prophesied that it would come.
Yeah.
Yeah, we remember that one, right? From Joel.
Yeah.
On all people. my spirit will be poured out.
Amen.
It came without warning, huh?
Yeah.
That's right. Boom. And with languages.
Yeah.
And what was the purpose? To usher the kingdom in with power for the Gentiles.
Amen.
The kingdom had been going for 7 years, but no Gentiles, right? So God had to do something equally as powerful to usher it in for them.
Right.
Now, the outpouring of that Spirit is not what saved their souls. No. The Spirit was poured out, they were speaking in tongues. That was the grand event that made Peter and the other baptized believers say, wow, they've received the Spirit just like we did. So who can keep us from baptizing them with water?
Amen. Yep.
Then Peter ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't order them to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do that.
Right.
It came without warning.
Yeah.
But once the sign was there, once Peter understood, my gosh, God's made it okay for them. Who am I to hold it back? Now I ordered you to be baptized in Jesus' name, which was the water baptism for the forgiveness of
Amen.
Their sins.
Yeah.
Then they were saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Then they were in the kingdom.
Right.
So the Bible all fits together.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. Let's read on here and see what happened to Peter after this event. Because it is time for Peter to answer to his brothers.
Right.
Verse 11. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers praised him for his good work.
No.
No, they criticized him.
Right.
And they said, you went into the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with him. What the heck's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying? It was unheard of. It was unacceptable.
Right.
Peter had to answer. And he did. Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. I like that word, precisely. I was in the city of Joppa praying. In a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down where I was. I looked into it and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I replied, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. The voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times. And then it was all rolled up, pulled up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he'd seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and your household will be saved. It was the message that brought the salvation, not the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But check out what that did. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as He had come on us at the beginning.
Yes.
The beginning of what?
The kingdom.
The beginning of the kingdom of God.
Right.
In Acts 2.
Yeah.
When it all began. Just like it came then, it came on them again.
Right.
On the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Now, by the way, did you miss it? There was the promise. So, if God gave them the same gift.
Right.
So, I mean, so there was our fifth characteristic. God had promised them that same gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even those Gentiles repentance unto life. They were amazed right then and there. Alright, so, Acts chapter 10, we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes again to allow the Gentiles, well, to allow the Jews to understand that the Gentiles were also able to enter the kingdom of God. And, isn't it awesome that in Acts chapter 2, who had the keys to the kingdom? Peter. Peter opened the doors for the Jews. In Acts chapter 10, who did God choose to send?
Peter,
who had the keys, and he unlocked the doors for the Gentiles.
Amen.
And all of us are happy about
Amen.
That one.
Amen.
So you see the scriptures just fitting together
yes.
in such an awesome, powerful way. Now, we need to address something before we close. A seeming contradiction in the Bible. Look at Ephesians chapter 4.
Come on, bro.
You ever have anybody say to you, well, the Bible has so many contradictions.
Yeah.
And so usually your answer needs to be, oh yeah, tell me one.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they don't even know one. They just heard that, so they repeat it.
Yeah.
But here, we do have a seeming contradiction. Let's see what it's all about. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, we'll read through 6. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all.
Wow.
So what's the seeming contradiction here in this awesome passage is that there's one baptism. One baptism. But yet when we read the scriptures, there are several baptisms. Well, that seems to be a contradiction. Kind of like there were three measures of the Spirit, which we've learned are the indwelling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, there are also three baptisms talked about in the Bible. But yet here, in Ephesians, Paul is talking about one. So we need to talk about that. We have three choices. Look at Acts chapter 19. And here's where you really start seeing everything we've studied really come together. In Acts 19, verse 1, and as we talked about in the New Testament conversion study, you start to see where someone's gaps are. Like when they met Apollos, he had so much on right, but he was missing something.
Yeah.
And they were able to go right in there, if you knew the word well, and help him see what he was missing.
Right.
Acts 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There, he found some disciples. It's always good to find disciples.
Amen.
And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. What? So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? See, first question. You don't know about the Holy Spirit. What baptism did you get? They answer, John's baptism. All right, I understand. I got you. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They're about 12 in all. Now, I usually stop at 5, but I wanted to read that last part just for you. We're going to talk about that one on Friday night.
Amen.
Placing his hands on them, and then they had gifts, miraculous gifts. That one we're going to cover. But if you go back up, as soon as he hears they didn't have the Holy Spirit, he says, well, what are you talking about? Well, we only had John's baptism. See, John's baptism, that's all it was. It was a baptism of repentance.
Right.
And he had prophesied about the coming of the one who would not just baptize in water, but the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That was Jesus.
Yes.
So once Jesus came, and once Jesus' baptism in his name, Jesus' name, was put into practice there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, which is about 33 A.D., John's baptism was no longer necessary. It had served its purpose, but it was no longer needed. Because now, you could be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins
right.
and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So when something served its purpose, you get rid of it. Right? You buy a Coke, you drink it out of the bottle. What do you do with the bottle? You save it, you know, and use it again and again and again and again. No, you're actually taught that's not good because there's germs in there. So you get rid of that. You throw it away. Right? Once John's baptism had served its purpose, it was no longer necessary when the new covenant began. So, What's choice number two? We go back to Acts 2 and Acts 10, and we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But was that for salvation?
No.
Was that for forgiveness of sins?
No.
No. That was a grand event to usher in the kingdom. Once it happened in Acts 2, all Jews were in the kingdom.
Right.
Yeah.
That would respond to the message. Once it happened in Acts 10, now all Gentiles are in. Anybody left?
No.
That's everybody.
Yep.
And you'll never see it again in the Bible days, and it's never happened again since. Because
yep.
It served its purpose.
Right.
It was to usher in the kingdom of God. Yep. So that's not the baptism Ephesians 4 is talking about. So, and it was never a general command for all Christians to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The command was to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Right.
For the forgiveness of your sins.
Yes.
And that's the third choice. Water baptism. Baptism in water. In Jesus' name. For the forgiveness of your sins. To receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at a scripture I'm sure that you've never heard of. Matthew chapter 28.
No. Really?
Never heard of it.
How do you get there?
Amen. And we're going to look in verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." This was a command of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a command for that day. It was a perpetual command for all ages. Surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. And since that day, they've been making disciples who make disciples who make disciples right up to the present day with Dre and Christina getting baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Now they're given the charge. He must go. Like he was at Bible Talk today and he's upset his buddy Travis wasn't there. He said, "I'm leaving to go back to school and find Travis." Because he's trying to make Travis a disciple and baptize him for the forgiveness of his sins. That's the one baptism that is talked about in Ephesians 4:4-6. Paul wrote Ephesians around A.D. 60 to 62. So we're talking around 30 years after kingdom began and Jesus ascended. That's the baptism that still mattered.
Yes.
That's the baptism, the one baptism that was still needed and being preached.
Yes.
Show you one more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
Let's see what Peter had to say.
Yeah.
How he confirms it. Yeah. And by the way, 1 Peter was written also around A.D. 62. Around the same time as Ephesians. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 18 to get a running start at this. Bless you. "For Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous," of course that's Christ, "for the unrighteous," that's us. Why? "To bring you to God." That's why Christ did it, guys.
Right.
"He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago, while God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved." And we have a problem that only a few are going to be saved in our day and age. Well, in the days of Noah, it was only eight.
Come on, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
Eight people were saved. That's it.
That's right.
And that's the teaching of the narrow gate right there that you use today. Only eight were saved. How are they saved? Through water. Remember the flood?
Yep. That's right.
He wants us to think of the flood. The flood destroyed the sin of Noah's day and saved Noah.
Right.
Through water. And this water, the water of the flood, symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. See, you're buried in water, it kills your sin, saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember? Because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we get to participate in that same thing.
Amen.
This is what Peter wrote about. AD 62, it's the baptism of water.
Amen.
For the forgiveness of your sins. Now, some people take this and twist it. Baptism was just a symbol. Read it carefully. It's the water that was the symbol. Not baptism.
Right.
The water was the symbol of the flood.
Yeah.
Baptism, you're just going down that water, and through faith that Jesus is going to cut your sin away, you're born up into the kingdom.
Yeah.
So that's what Peter had to say about it. That had to be the baptism of Ephesians 4. It's the one that was still practiced. It's the one Jesus believed in, and the one Peter was still preaching. And that, my friends, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Now, what do you need to know for next time? Very simple. Three measures of the Holy Spirit. What are they?
Indwelling.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that Friday night. Now, you need to know the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurred two times in the whole Bible.
Right.
One in Acts.
Two.
And one in Acts for the Jews and the Gentiles, and then it was done. You'll need to know the five characteristics of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which are, and I'll just say them, it was promised, not commanded, it was predicted or prophesied, it came without warning, you didn't pray for it and wait for it, and wait for it to show you're saved. No, it came before you were baptized in water to be saved. Amen? Four, it came with languages. Five, its purpose was to usher in the kingdom with power. And lastly, you need to know how to break down this argument that there were three baptisms, and yet there was only one baptism.
Amen.